Good morning, everyone. Today's Bible reading comes from Psalm 32. Psalm 32 of David, a Maskil. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
Thanks, Joyce, for reading that psalm. And good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you. I'm going to try and do the clicker from up here, if that's going to work. Yep. Excellent. Nope. We'll get it sorted. Well, when we do the wrong thing, our instinct is to try and cover it up, isn't it? We try to conceal what we've done wrong. We try to hide it. When our kids were younger, one of them damaged one of the walls in our house, in the internal, an internal wall, and they tried to cover it up. He got a bit of paper and just glued it to the wall to cover up the damage. And surprisingly, it worked for a while until Sally and I sort of looked at the bit of paper on the wall one day and thought, what the heck is that bit of paper doing stuck to the wall? And then we discovered the truth. But it's not just kids, adults do it as well. We hate for people to know when we've done the wrong thing. We try to hide our wrongdoing from others. And the big problem is that when it comes to God, we do the same thing. We try to hide our sin from God. But what this psalm, Psalm 32, teaches us is that trying to cover up your sin before God is always, always a terrible idea. In fact, we actually need to do the opposite. What we see in this psalm is that if you try to cover up your sin before God, God is going to uncover it. But if you uncover your sin before God, he will cover it. He won't put a band-aid over it or brush it under the carpet. No, if you admit your wrongdoing to God, he will deal with it completely. It will never be brought up again. He will forgive. And so this is a psalm about forgiveness. It's about the joy of a restored relationship, a relationship that we've broken, a relationship with God. And we've all wronged God. We're all guilty of sin. But this psalm says, you are blessed. Blessed is the person who's been forgiven by God. It's there in the first two verses of our psalm. It'd be great to have that psalm open, either in a physical Bible or on your phone. Look at verses 1 and 2 of the psalm. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. To be blessed is to be in an enviable position, getting married or having a child or waking up on the first day of a long holiday or graduating school. You are blessed. Well, who does the psalmist say here is blessed? If you've been forgiven by God, then you are blessed. If you look at the heading of this psalm, you'll see that it's a psalm of David, and it's a maskil. The word maskil has to do with wisdom and understanding. Now, not all maskils are wisdom psalms, but I think this one is. King David wants to teach us. He wants us to learn from his experience. And what is it that he wants to teach us? Well, he wants to show us the sort of person who is blessed, the sort of person whom God will forgive. If you want a right relationship with God, if you want forgiveness with God, says David, then listen up. This is what you've got to do. And now it's so important that we pay attention to what David says here, because our tendency when we sin is to do the exact opposite of what David is saying here. But that will not lead to forgiveness. As we read this psalm this morning, you might realize that there are some blind spots for you. Here are some that really hit me hard as I reflected on the psalm this week. Blind spot number one. This psalm teaches that confessing your sin to God is a top priority. And I take it should be something done regularly. If that's not the case for you, then why not? Blind spot number two. In this psalm, David feels the weight, the real seriousness of his sin. Is that the case for you? Or is sin something that you've come to treat a bit lightly, as if it doesn't matter all that much? Blind spot number three. This psalm instructs those who've been forgiven by God to rejoice. Now, if someone were to look at your life, would they say your life is a life marked by joy? If not, why not? As we come to this psalm, it might be that you need a renewed vision of just how blessed you are to be forgiven by God, to be in a right relationship with God. Or it might be that at the moment you feel so weighed down by guilt that you feel you're almost beyond God's ability to forgive you. Or it might be that you've never actually admitted your sin to God. We need to hear the message. We need to hear the wisdom of this psalm. So would you pray with me that God would speak to our hearts this morning as we hear from Psalm 32? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please would you open our eyes afresh, even for the first time this morning, to see the real depths, the seriousness of our sin, and also the greatness of your forgiveness. Please, Father, would you protect us from that temptation to hide from you, to hide our sin from you. Please, would you open our lips in joy, to sing, to rejoice in the forgiveness that you offer us. Amen. Well, we've got 3 points this morning that might help us stay on track as we look at this psalm. The first point is this, that God forgives those who confess. God who forgives those who confess their sin. In the first half of the psalm, David shares his experience with us. He had tried to hide his sin from God. Have a look at verse 3. When I kept silent, says David, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. David had tried to hide his sin from God, but it didn't work. When he kept silent, when he was silent about his sin, he was in agony. Look at what he says. His bones feel like they're deteriorating. He feels like he's outside on a 40-degree day and his strength is just sapped. Now, I think he's not talking about physical agony here, but emotional, spiritual turmoil. David feels the weight, the guilt of his sin. And I wonder if that's true for you. Do you feel the weight of your sin? Or have you grown a bit complacent when it comes to sin in your life? Maybe it no longer bothers you. I think that can be like having a big melanoma on your face and trying to cover it up with a bit of makeup. If your sin doesn't bother you, or you feel that you're not in need of God's forgiveness, then that would be something to pray about. Ask God to open your eyes to the seriousness of your sin. You don't try and cover up a melanoma with makeup. You go and get a full skin check. Well, King David here, he feels the weight of his sin. Verse 4, he says he feels God's heavy hand upon him. This is actually God who is making David suffer. And it sounds cruel until we realize why God is doing this. God is making David suffer to bring him to repent. God knows that David's sin can't just be left alone to fester. It can't be hidden or forgotten about. Like all sin, it will lead to death. It must be dealt with. And so God lays on David this suffering, this turmoil. God wants David to do something about his sin. It's not because God's cruel, it's because he loves. And that is why God prompts David to admit his sin. And so I wonder, the next time you go through a rough time in life, maybe that's even right now, it's worth asking the question, could God be using my circumstances to draw me back to himself? Is there sin in my life that I need to repent of, that I need to confess to God? Now, more than likely, there's no direct link between your sin and your suffering, but during times of suffering, I think it's always right to pause and reflect, to examine your life and to see, is God drawing me back to himself in some way through this suffering? Well, David is under the heavy hand of God, and finally he can take it no longer. He confesses his sin in verse 5. Verse 5, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Now, there are three overlapping words here used to describe sin. There's the word sin, iniquity, and transgressions. It's a little bit hard to see in English, but they're the same three words that popped up in verses 1 and 2. These three words, if you like, sum up David's sin, the entirety of it. Not just the entree or the main course or the dessert. This is the whole rotten meal. And David confesses it all. He's no longer silent. He no longer tries to cover it up. He admits to God that he's done the wrong thing. And at that moment, an amazing thing happens. God forgives him. Now, there were three words to describe sin in this passage, but did you notice that in verses 1 and 2, there were three words or three phrases that describe forgiveness? In verse 1, the word forgiven. In verse 1, again, the word covered. And then in verse 2, it talks about sin not being counted against you. Three words for sin, three words for forgiveness. As big and bad as sin is, God's forgiveness is greater. And those three words help us to understand, to appreciate God's forgiveness. The first word there, forgiven, in verse 1, means lifted up. That's what it literally means. When God forgives someone, he lifts off their guilt and he himself bears it. The second word, covered, in verse 1, that's the same word that we saw in verse 5. David had tried to cover up his sin in verse 5, but it didn't work. But when he stopped trying to cover up his sin, when he uncovered his sin before God, God covered it. God buried it, dealt with it forever. And that third phrase in verse 2, when God forgives, he no longer counts sin against us. When God forgives, he cancels the debt that we owe. He no longer counts it against us. Now, three phrases to describe forgiveness: lifted up, covered, no longer counted against us. When God forgave David, it was complete. It was full forgiveness. And God forgave David because he stopped trying to hide his sin and instead confessed it to God. God forgives those who confess, who admit, who acknowledge their sin to him. If you deny it, if you try to hide it, if you deceive yourself into thinking that you have no sin, then you will remain unforgiven. Now, I think that's what the end of verse 2 means when it talks about a spirit in which there is no deceit. A deceitful spirit, a deceitful heart, is one that says, I have no sin. But you're deceiving yourself. But bring your sin to God and you will be blessed. God will lift up the burden of guilt from your shoulders. God will bury your sin forever. He'll never again bring up your sin against you. It's been dealt with. And so to be right with God, there is nothing better. There is nothing more important. And isn't that momentous news? That is what our friends and family need to hear. Now, the gospel is not about making people feel better about themselves. It's about the fact that God forgives those who confess. God forgives those who repent and come to him for forgiveness. Well, King David had tried to cover up his sin before God. But that's a little bit like trying to bury a bone in the backyard if you have a dog. The dog's going to sniff it out and dig it up again. When David tried to cover his sin, God uncovered it. But when David uncovered his sin before God, a remarkable thing happened. God covered it forever. And so our first point this morning is that God forgives those who confess their sin to him. And so our second point is this. If God forgives those who confess their sin, then what should we do? Trust God and confess your sin to him. In the first half of the psalm, David shared with us his experience of confessing and forgiveness. And now in the second half of the psalm, David shares with us his wisdom. He urges us to do what he has done. If God forgives those who confess their sin, therefore, says David in verse 6, therefore, let all the faithful pray to you, God, while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Pray to God. Confess your sin to him while he may be found. Now, it might be that you've never really said sorry to God. And if that's the case for you, please hear the warning of this psalm, that God's patience will not last forever. One day you will stand face to face with God and you'll have to give an account for your sin. And to stand guilty before the judge of all the earth, well, that is a terrifying thing. Now is the time that God may be found. Now is the time to come to God, to confess your sin and to be forgiven. Don't delay. For those who are forgiven, God is no longer a judge who condemns, but a refuge from the waters of judgment. And so how do you find forgiveness with God? Well, in verse 8 of our psalm, David tells us, he goes on to tell us, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. He says, listen, guys, let me make it clear to you. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And here it is, verse 9. Don't be like a horse or a mule which wander away because they have no understanding, he says. What should we do instead? Verse 10, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Don't be like the wicked. Now, don't wander off like a donkey. Instead, come to God. Forgiveness is not found by hiding from God, but it's not found by hiding your sin from God, but by doing the opposite. Come to God, put your trust in him. The Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Now, if you're like me, then when you've done the wrong thing, The last thing you feel like doing is coming to God. Now, I feel like, how could God possibly want to listen to me right now? But distancing yourself from God is always a terrible mistake. If God forgives those who confess their sin to him, then don't be a donkey. Come to God, trust him, confess your sin to him, and he will forgive you. You will be surrounded by the Lord's unfailing love. You will be blessed. Don't go to a priest. This psalm says we go directly to God. We confess our sin to him, and he forgives us. And so I wonder for you, is confessing your sin a regular part of your personal prayers? Confessing our sin to God and trusting him, it's not just the way we start the Christian life, but it's the way we continue. And so I think it's worth developing a habit of regularly confessing your sin to God. If you don't have a regular method or habit of prayer, then one suggestion is the teaspoon method of prayer. Could you advance that slide for me, Albert? So TSP, teaspoon. T for thanks. What can I thank God for? P for please. What do I need to ask God for? And S for sorry. That's where you confess. Confess your sin to God. What do I need to say sorry to God for? Helpful little reminder if you want to use that. I think we need to be regularly confessing our sin to God, bringing our sin to him. David has shown us from his experience that those who confess their sin to God are blessed because God forgives those who confess their sin. That was our first point. And so our second point was to come to God, confess your sin to him, and trust him to forgive you. And so finally, our third point this morning is to rejoice. Rejoice in God's forgiveness. Verse 11, look at our final verse of the psalm. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Who are the righteous? Who are the upright in heart? Well, it's not those who've never sinned, because that would be none of us. It's those who've been forgiven. It's those who've come to God, they've put their trust in him, they've confessed their sin to God, and they've been forgiven. They are blessed. Rather than judgment, they now have eternal life. No longer guilty, now righteous. And that is something worth rejoicing in. That is something to sing about. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul quotes this psalm. He quotes Psalm 32. And he makes the point that David, just like Abraham before him, was not righteous because of what he did, but because he trusted God. To be forgiven, to be declared righteous, it's not something we can earn. We don't deserve it. We can't pay for our forgiveness through good works or penance. The Roman Catholic Church has got it wildly wrong there. No, our forgiveness is far more costly than that. What is the price of God's forgiveness? How is it that God can forgive? How can he bury our sin? It's because our guilt was lifted off us and placed onto Jesus. He is the one who bears the weight of our sin. Our forgiveness comes at the cost of God's own Son. God himself has paid the price of our forgiveness. And so come to him. Confess your sin to him and he will forgive you. What can I do to earn forgiveness with God? Nothing. Just rejoice, says David, that God has paid it all. What a joy to be forgiven by God. What a joy to have the weight of sin removed, to have the slate wiped clean, to stand before God now forgiven, to be in a right relationship with him. Such a person is blessed. And if that's you, says David, then rejoice. I wonder for you, does your life look like a life of rejoicing? If someone were to look at your life over the last week, would they say that your life is marked by joy? If not, why not? Have you forgotten that God has freely forgiven you. It'd be worth making a habit of daily remembering the blessing that you have of being forgiven by God, to be in a right relationship with God. Maybe you could do that when you have a meal each day, when you say grace. Make a habit of remembering, giving thanks for the blessing of God's forgiveness. We want to develop a habit, I think, of joyful thankfulness to God, so that even in the most difficult times, we can rejoice. Because whatever else is going on around, we are right with God, and nothing can change that. Well, the lesson that God wants to teach us in this psalm, through David's experience, is that if you try to cover your sin, God is going to uncover it. Your guilt will remain. But if you uncover your sin before God, He will cover it, and you will be forgiven. So come to God, confess your sin, and trust Him to forgive you. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Why don't we pray? Lord, we are sorry that we don't love you as you deserve, and we don't love others as we should. We're sorry for our sin. Please forgive us. Thank you for the great reassurance of this psalm, that you have forgiven all who have admitted their sin and put their trust in you. Thank you for Jesus, who bore the great cost of our sin. Please fill our hearts with joy in the knowledge that you have forgiven us. Amen.